Issues and Answers.
My name is Edward P. Morgan. Television, you may remember, was supposed to be the greatest boon to civilization since the invention of the printing press. Something's gone wrong because many critics increasingly charge that it's less boon than bust, a mess of mediocrity of programming for the mass audience. The Harris poll the other day stunned broadcasting by finding that a majority of television sets in upper income homes were dark most nights of the week. Reason, lack of quality of programs. Many ideas have been broached to water this cultural wasteland, so to speak. Now comes a new one, public television, to be financed by a small tax on new television sets. Source of the idea, the Carnegie Commission on Educational Television, created with President Johnson's important blessing. We're going to discuss the issues now with Dr. James R. Killian, Jr., the group's chairman and also chairman of the board of MIT, and the Honorable Terry Sanford, former governor of North Carolina and a member of the Carnegie Commission that broached this report. Dr. Killian, if this thing gets through Congress, and if it works, what will television viewers see that they don't now get?
The plan that the commission has proposed, in it is our hope, will bring to the local community an opportunity for that community to see itself in new ways and fresh ways, to know itself better. It would also bring to that local community issues for discussion that are important to the community, national programs through the Public Television Corporation that we propose. Primarily, however, the system as we visualize it will be directed at meeting the needs of the special audience, the diverse audiences, that commercial television, because it has to drive for the largest possible audience, cannot always reach for. So we particularly lay great stress on diversity, on multiplying the program choices are available to the listener, whether he be specialized by subject matter or specialized by community.
Governor Sanford, tomorrow's issue of broadcasting, one of the most prestigious publications in the industry, is going to say editorially that the idea that the commission broached is much too promising, and I'm quoting here, much too promising to be set aside as just another romantic dream. But it adds that the idea as planned by the commission could become the captive of the President of the United States. A, would you address yourself to that? And B, as a seasoned politician, would you give us an assessment of how Congress is going to treat it? Congress is not in too experimental a mood these days.
No, I think nobody knows what the mood of Congress is, but I think the whole idea of public television and this concept that television now can advance beyond the preliminary early stages of trying to establish television as the kind of instrumentality which could reach many, many people. Now the time has come to turn from that to higher quality and broader uses for the whole of the nation. So I think Congress might very well, even if it's in a conservative mood on other matters, look on this as an opportunity now to make television mean more to the people than it's ever meant before. As far as becoming a captive of the President of the United States, I don't believe that's possible.
He appoints
six, and those six in turn appoint six others to the overall governing board. President Johnson, I'm sure, understands that this must be of the highest order, that these people must look at television as another great educational instrument, much as a university and a particular location serves that purpose. And I believe that future presidents who would be guided by the precedents set now by President Johnson, and I'm satisfied he sees this in this proper relationship, I think the precedents would be so firmly established that the public would react violently to the action of any future president who sought to make this his personal instrument or to capture it in any way for purposes other than the general good.
I want to come back. Did you want to add to that,
yes,
Dr. Kennedy?
I would point out that we have a number of institutions associated with our government where the president has to make appointments, and that we can find many of these in which there's been no question that the appointments have been made in the public interest. I cite the National Science Foundation.
I want to come back to the alleged dangers of captive television a little later, but Dr. Killian, how would this 12-member board work? What does it do? Does it hatch ideas for programs?
The 12-member board would be analogous to the Board of Trustees of a great university. Its primary responsibility in the beginning would be to appoint the chief executive officer of the Corporation for Public Television. And after that, to be a policy-making group for the corporation, its primary responsibility would not be to get into operations, although I dare say it would have special problems arising because this is a unique institution, certainly unique to television. What would be a board of trustees?
But they would do more in guiding the director or the president than a board of trustees of a university.
I think it would have to.
I think we'd want to guard against one administrator deciding how this thing went from day to day and what kind of programs were set up.
Well, now, this study that you have just finished and put out in book form, a pocketbook now and a hardback book, I believe, in March, is probably the most in-depth study of television problems that's ever been made in this country. There were 15 people on your board, and I understand you took 14 months and spent, propitiously, no doubt, $500,000 in this rather difficult assignment. Can you give me a sort of a prototype, what you two gentlemen think would be the kind of person that you're looking for, or that the president and the Congress would be looking for, on this Board of Trustees?
We say in our report that the board should be made up of distinguished citizens geographically distributed about the country. People who had demonstrated their sense of public service and their commitment to the public welfare. But also the board should be representative in terms of the different elements, commercial television, educational television, the performing arts, people who had experience that bore upon television.
I think it's important that you have creative people, not people who simply look on themselves as appointed to administer some set program, but people who will seek out the possibilities of just how public television might serve all of civilization. And so you want a creative person who can see into the future of what this
And we think they should be strong people, too. This is the kind of assignment that would require, I think, a power of decision.
To keep it from becoming captive.
Now, you've set up a question for me, Dr. Killian. A strong board, strong people, creative people on it.
Yes.
And yet, in your report, you stress repeatedly the need for local autonomy.
We feel this is fundamental to this system.
Isn't there a clash here?
I doubt it. I think the creative person would understand that this television couldn't serve its most useful purpose unless it did rely on the local strength.
I'm thinking of a clash in a different way, Governor Sanford. Let me pose a hypothetical case, which I hope is not too far afield. Let's suppose that you have a station taking this public television in Jackson, Mississippi, and it does not want to take a program that was done on race relations in Omaha, Nebraska, or vice versa. Omaha doesn't want to take one from Jackson. What happens?
Well, it shouldn't take it, and it's very strongly stated that the local manager, guided by his local board, should be able to accept or reject or create new programs on his own.
It's local option.
I think it's absolutely necessary to maintain this kind of diversity and this kind of local choice.
But what you do for the local station is multiply the number of programs available to them, hopefully provide more programs of high quality, give them choices that they don't now have.
Dr. Killian, Governor Sanford, I want to come back for just a second to the potential clash between a strong board of trustees administering public television and local autonomy. What if the local station persistently and consistently refused to take anything that it just didn't generate itself?
Very good.
That's We think that ought to be quite possible.
And we think they ought to have the strength, this board, this national board, ought to have the strength to protect the local station from any pressures that would try to make them take programs.
I'd like to emphasize another aspect of this. This is not really a network, a fourth network that we're proposing. We contemplate programs that would be generated in two production centers, national production centers, other productions that would come from local stations of exceptional strength, so that you would have multiple sources of programming, including greatly strengthened program on the part of the local stations, all feeding into the system. So you have many different kinds of programs, and you don't have a dominant network operation that is attempting to force programs on a group of local stations.
Presumably, if the local station didn't take anything that the two centers offered, somebody in the programming department would probably be asked by the board what's wrong.
That's right. They better be looking at what they've been doing.
Now, let's get to the, I assume, core of the problem, money. There has been some reaction, most of it overwhelmingly favorable to the commission's idea. But there's been some reaction to the effect that a proposal of an excise tax on new television sets is unfair. That basically the commercial television and their advertisers, amounting to about $2 billion worth of industry of trade a year, are really responsible for having created this so-called cultural ghetto by not putting more educational and cultural programs on themselves, and therefore they should be charged rather than the set manufacturer or the set owner. What about that?
Well, there's not any good tax. You can start off with that.
Pardon?
There's not any good tax for anything.
But we felt that the problem here was a problem of principle, how one insulated this a corporation for public television from the annual budgetary review, both on the part of the Congress and on the part of the executive branch. And it seemed to us that a trust fund, into which funds would flow from a fixed tax, such as the excise tax, was the best way of giving this protection and insulation. If someone comes up with an invention that does this thing, that meets this requirement equally well, other than the excise tax, I think we would all be very happy about it.
Well, now, Jack Gould, the radio TV critic of the New York Times, says today, and I'm quoting him, the commission, your commission, may have dealt almost a death blow to the Ford Foundation concept. That concept basically being a free switch to the educational television stations in the domestic satellite that would be beaming programs, and that there the cost of the switch would be absorbed by the commercial industry. Do you feel that this is a death blow to the Ford concept?
Well, I don't think so. I think the Ford concept comes along in due time. I don't think there's enough money there in any event to support the kind of programming that's needed. So we need this other approach regardless of how the Ford proposal might turn out.
We say in our report very explicitly that we see no conflict between the Ford proposal and the plan that we propose. We say, however, that we hope that the planning of a public television system will not await the resolution of the complicated issues that are involved in the creation of a domestic satellite system.
In a way, the position of the commission and the Ford Foundation reminds me a little bit of the position of the Republican Party. They've got a lot of candidates who want to be nominated for president, and there are a lot of ideas floating around in this field of non-commercial television. Is there a danger that there's so many that they may cancel each other out and nothing gets done?
I think not. I think the really important fact about the Ford Foundation proposals and our own is that we both stress as emphatically as we can the opportunity to provide this new kind of service, this diverse kind of service to these special audiences. This is the important thing.
Both have emphasized that here is an opportunity to enrich the lives of all people who will get around to watching television, and most everybody in the country will. Now, how to do it, we can move in a number of directions, and we can find taxes from a number of sources, but the point is everybody says it ought to be done.
Incidentally, we were enormously impressed when we began to look at the figures on how much television is viewed by the average American. Something like 3 hours a day out of the 24 This means that 1 year out of eight on the part of the average citizen is devoted to watching television. This is a profoundly important fact. This means that we must do everything we can to make sure that what he sees is as varied, as good. And I say this not as a way of criticizing commercial television, which we do not do in our report.
You've got something more than statistics in your report, Dr. Killian. I can't resist the temptation to give what might be called a qualitative commercial to your work, and I'm going to quote from the book the words of E.B. White, the New Yorker magazine editor and contributor. He says, "I think television should be the visual counterpart of the literary essay, arouse our dreams, satisfy our hunger for beauty, take us on journeys, enable us to participate in events, present great drama and music, explore the sea and the sky and the woods and the hills. It should be our Lyceum, our Chautauqua, our Minsky's, and our Camelot. It should restate and clarify the social dilemma and the political pickle. Once in a while, it does, and you get a quick glimpse of its potential. But how far have we got to go in this direction?"
But certainly our commission had this glimpse of this potential. And we feel that the far-reaching system that we have sought to design here, based upon the local stations, directed at these qualitative objectives that Mr. White so eloquently states, supported in part the programming part on the national level by a very small source of public funds, will provide us as a supplement to the commercial station, amicably existing with it, a more comprehensive television service to meet this hunger on the part of the American people.
Getting back to the danger, if any, of demagogues capitalizing either on public television or perhaps in another way on commercial television. Right. I can't, with the greatest of, I say this with the greatest of respect to a couple of other networks, but a lot of people were astonished at the amount of promotion that went into the so-called Super Bowl football game two or three weeks ago. An enormous amount of money. They were even, the event was even mentioned on entertainment programs aside from commercials. Do you, either one of you have a fear that a demagogue could, on a small scale in a state or a county, seize with a fairly good bankroll the public mind in this way?
We have sought in every way we could to avoid this possibility by having this diversification, decentralization, by having the local station in the saddle, master of its own fate. It's possible that at some part of the system, something of this sort could happen, but the chance for it having a massive effect, I think, would be negligible.
In your political experience, Governor, is this just a nightmare that never come true, we hope?
There's not enough money to buy enough time to promote a political candidate like the Super Bowl was promoted. And I don't think public television would lend itself to that kind of takeover.
Those are comforting words.
No.
Another aspect of the money problem.
Yes.
A federal judge the other day, discussing the commission's ideas and very favorably, said that it pained him every time he saw a television license renewed or transferred in the public interest. They were using public facilities, the airwaves, the channels, without any fee involved. Millions are involved here. What about the efficacy of such a tax?
This has been one of the alternatives that has been proposed to the commission most frequently, that there should be a franchise tax on the use of the airways.
In the long run, though, this is not going to be as reliable a tax as some other kind of tax, because I think you'll see in television what you have seen in commercial radio, more and more stations now that the UHF stations are opening up. I don't think the big profits will be there that have been in the past. I think many, many stations, if not already marginal, soon will become marginal in terms of supplying any large amounts of additional bonus for the support of public television. So I think in the long run, this is the other approach of some kind of excise tax would be a more reliable source.
You mentioned radio, which happens to be one of my favorite media, Governor. What provision, if any, would be made for individual radio stations, commercially owned or not, university owned or not, to take advantage of some of your programming?
We did not study radio as a part of our...
I know,
but there'd be no reason that public television, the corporation, couldn't allow radio to pick any radio to pick up any public television program.
And many of the local stations, local non-commercial stations now, also are radio stations. WGBH in Boston started out as an FM station. So that I think there would be a pairing of this kind of activity in many places.
Let me press both of you to the wall on this question. What do you think the chances are, realistically, of this project going through the 90th Congress?
I think that there is a realization of the importance of finding a solution to this problem that has never existed before, that all of the discussion that has taken place in the last 6 months, the Ford Foundation proposals have certainly generated an enormously enhanced understanding and interest here. I think that there's going to be a sympathetic, hard look at this, but to forecast the time schedule, I think, is impossible. It took 5 years for the National Science Foundation
to be brought into being. Well, since I'm used to being pressed to the wall on questions, I would say that I think this Congress will do something creative. They've been looking for a beginning point. This is a beginning point, and I predict action in this session.
Dr. Killian, Governor Sanford, it happens that Monday, January 30th, is the 85th birthday anniversary of Franklin D. Roosevelt. He was called the radio president for his fireside chats. What do you suppose he would have been as a television president? Would he have been a television president?
Well, I would think so. I would think that he would have mastered television as he mastered radio. And I think this helps demonstrate just how effective it is as a means of communication.
Dr. Killian, we only have, give or take a second, a minute or two left. We've explicitly and implicitly given commercial television a little hard time today. But some of the worst programs...
I admire commercial television for many of the fine things it does.
Some of the worst and most boring programs I've ever seen, unfortunately, have been on educational television. Is this... Do you anticipate the danger of a lot of professorial hams?
One of the problems in non-commercial television, educational television, has been that it's been impoverished. One can't be adventuresome and gay and joyous when one is impoverished. If we make adequate means available to non-commercial television, I'm confident that it can have the gaiety, the lightness, as well as the substance that we visualize.
If it doesn't, it'll not be accepted by the public, but we are saying we have faith with the proper support it can do that kind of a job.
And it isn't going to have an embarrassment of riches as far as money is concerned.
No, in no
way. No, it will not. It will be, in fact, very modest in its resources.
Dr. Killian, Governor Sanford, thank you for being with us today on Issues and Answers.
Our guests this week have been Dr. James Killian and the Honorable Terry Sanford, members of the Carnegie Commission on Educational Television. They were interviewed by ABC News commentator Edward P. Morgan. Issues and Answers is produced by Peggy Wheaton, a presentation of ABC News.